Prayer is a kid talking to his dad. Now it becomes a conversation.
Dr. Tony Evans says God wants our prayers to be more than a laundry list of needs.
He wants you to pursue an intimate relationship with Him so that you feel, sense, and experience His love.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The disciples saw firsthand the intimacy Jesus had with the Father when He prayed, so it's no surprise they asked Him to teach them how to pray. Well, let's join Dr. Evans as he explores that with us today.
A lot of people think they know the Lord's Prayer. It's recited before sporting events, in locker rooms, civic events, school events, community gatherings. It is the go-to prayer. But we're going to walk through the Lord's Prayer word by word, line by line. Jesus told His disciples how not to pray. He let them know, if you don't have a prayer relationship in secret, don't think you're accomplishing anything in public. He said, God looks at the secret closet of communication because you want a relationship with Him. You just don't want something from Him, you want to be with Him. For prayer is relational communication with God, yes, to draw heaven into history, eternity into time, and the mechanism that God has established is prayer. In Luke's rendition of the Lord's Prayer, in Luke 11:1, the disciples went to Him and said, teach us to pray. We see this power you have, these miracles you do. We see this direction and this hookup you have with God. We want in on that. Teach us to pray. And that leads Jesus to tell them the Lord's Prayer as it is known. It really could be called the disciples' prayer because this is a prayer that Jesus could never pray. See, Jesus can't pray this prayer because it says, forgive us our trespasses. And He would never need to be forgiven. So it's really not His prayer to pray, it's Him teaching us how to pray. Now, the Lord's Prayer is divided into a very simple flow, two halves, if you will. The first half is concerned with God. Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. It's about Thy or you. The second half is about us, our daily bread, our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. So the first half is all about God. The second half is about you. And then, of course, He closes it with prayer about God again. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So it's God, us, God. What leads Jesus into this prayer from verse 8 is His statement that God knows our needs. Your Father already knows before you ask what you're coming to Him to talk about. So prayer is not an informational session to inform God. He says, I already know what you want to talk about. I just want to know, do you want to talk to me about it? Here is the key. Just because God knows something doesn't mean He will act on it. He has knowledge of everything, but some things He will not act on until there is relational communication with Him about it. So His knowledge does not equal His action. I know what you need. I just want to know, do you want me? Or just do you want the meeting of the need? Prayer becomes an answer to that question. Jesus says, pray in this way. In verse 9, pray like this. This is really not a prayer to be repeated word for word. It is really a framework, a guide for praying. This prayer is one of the most empty prayers prayed by people. Some of you didn't need to look at your Bible because you know this prayer. It's been prayed since you were a child. He says, pray like this. In other words, follow this guide. Let this be a governing premise as to how you approach prayer. So it's nothing wrong with repeating it, but he doesn't want just meaningless, or what he called in verses 5-8, vain repetition, just talking because you memorized it. But he says you can use this as an outline, if you will, for communicating with God. Today, we want to look at verse 9, for verse 9 is pregnant with principles for prayer. First of all, our Father. Point, you are not an only child. It's not just your daddy, it's our Father. Why does Jesus say, when you approach me, you're approaching an our God and not just your God? Because you're not the only kid in the family. If you are a parent and one of your children wants to act like they're your only kid, there's going to be conflict not only with the other kids, but with daddy, who has to equally relate to the whole family. So you can't be in a family of multiple people, multiple children, and function like you're the only child in it. It's our Father. This is why God has said there are certain things he will not do for one of his children if they are not connected to the rest of the family. So any unchurched, uninvolved Christian is blocking the Father from answering their personal needs because they don't want to be related to the siblings. So that's why God wants every Christian to be a functional, ministering part of a local church, which the Bible calls the family of God, the household of faith. Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. All the one another's in Scripture. Love one another, care for one another, support one another, connect with one another, assist one another. All these one another's in Scripture, because God says you will get more from daddy if I see you relating to your siblings. So church involvement has to do with father engagement. One father, many children. So it's our Father who is in heaven, not just your daddy. But he is Father. He is Father. Let's talk about that. You only have a father because you got kids. That's what makes you a father. Everybody who has accepted Christ, John 1:12, has been made a son or a child or daughter of God. So you have a father. So when you approach God in prayer, he wants you to approach him relationally, not just God way up there, but daddy up in here. He wants a relational communication as a father. Now, the problem is many of us have had a bad relationship with father. Some of you have had no fathers. Others of you might as well have had no fathers because he was there and not there. Others have had bad fathers or abusive fathers. And the temptation is to start with the father on earth and let him define your view of the father in heaven. So if you had a bad deal with the father on earth, it may have colored your view of your heavenly father. But the idea is to start with the father up there and let him define fatherhood down here. So for all you men who happen to be fathers, let's find out what the father is like so you and I can know the kind of father you're supposed to be. First of all, he is father by position, because in the scripture, the father was the head of the home. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the breakdown of the father. God always did his covenants through the father because the father held the post of responsibility. So if you are a man here, God holds you in ultimate place of responsibility for your home by position and for your children. Maybe you didn't know that, but every man here needs to know In the Bible, it is the father's responsibility to raise the children, not the mother. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, fathers, raise your children. It is not the mother's job to raise the children. It is the father's job to raise the children. The job of the mother is to help and fill in the gaps when the father can't be there, because that is your role. The Bible tells the fathers to teach their sons. The Bible gives the father the responsibility. So if the father doesn't own it, you may be father by title, but you're not father by position, because you're not carrying out the rearing responsibility that belongs ultimately, certainly with the help of the wife, but ultimately belongs in the hands of the man. So if you were the devil, what would you do? Get rid of the fathers out of the home. Because by getting rid of the father, you've canceled the position, created an extra burden on the mother, and perhaps damaged the kids. So the devil has gotten fathers away so that people can be messed up about what our heavenly father really looks like. So there is a position to be held. The beautiful thing is, if we start with our heavenly father, he takes responsibility for all of his children and for all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ. He owns that. God owns that, because that's what fathers do.
Dr. Evans will come back with more words of encouragement in just a moment. First, though, a quick note that you can get all 8 messages in Tony's current series, The Lord's Prayer, on CD or digital download to review and study at your own pace. This powerful collection focuses on how to make your prayers more like the model Jesus gave us, so they'll become more effective, more intimate, and more about God's agenda than your own. Just visit TonyEvans.org, make a contribution, and we'll say thanks by sending you full-length copies of all the messages in the Lord's Prayer series, including material we won't have time to share here on the air. And as a special bonus, for a limited time, we'll include a copy of Tony's powerful book, God is More Than Enough. Centered on Psalm 23, Dr. Evans explores how David's timeless masterpiece goes beyond literary brilliance and teaches us the secret to finding a happy life by looking for fulfillment in God alone. Both of these resources can be yours, but don't wait. This special offer ends soon. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get the details and make a donation. Or call 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are ready 24 hours a day to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222, or online at TonyEvans.org. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
Today our atmosphere is being contaminated by a sense of selfishness. It is in kindness that we are not destroyed.
Join Tony Evans in his Kindness in the Culture campaign to set a new standard for our nation. Take part by doing a practical act of kindness for someone each week. Then pray with them and share the gospel with them through our convenient kindness cards. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more. Be kind. Change culture.
He expects his people to be ambassadors of kindness. Nice can be your persona. Nice can be your personality. Kindness is your action.
And now let's return to our message. Here's Dr. Evans.
In addition to that position of raising the children, his job is to provide. God told Adam before he gave him a family, I'm going to make you a provider and I'm going to provide for you. In addition to the position and the provider was the protection. He says you are to guard the garden. And if you guard the garden under me, I'm going to guard you. So it was God fathering Adam. Adam was to father the family, and Adam was to get his clues of fathering from God. And he says, you start your prayer recognizing that there is this relational connection with God. Even in ministry, I am pastor by position, but Paul says that your role in 1 Timothy is to father the flock, because that's what fathers do. They don't just show up to eat. They show up to care. And so our Heavenly Father has a position. He is a provider. He is a protector. And that's who you talk to when you pray. Our Father. Second thing you need to know is, our Father who art in heaven. Your Father is a heavenly Father. Daniel 4:26 says, heaven rules over earth. So what you need to know when you pray to your unseen Father is that he's very much operative. He's in heaven, and heaven overrules earth. So therefore, the limitations of your earthly father are not the limitations of your heavenly father, because your earthly father is as bound to earth as you are, but your heavenly father is not. Therefore, if you put all of your marbles on your earthly father with their limitations, you are going to miss out on the potency of your heavenly father, who is not subject to this world order. I'm glad to know that earthly fathers don't have the last word. So if you were raised without a father, if you were raised with an abusive father, if you were raised with a neglected father, I want you to know right now that that earthly father doesn't have the last say-so over your life, over your recovery, over your stability, over your provision, because your daddy got a daddy who is in heaven. That is, he operates out of a whole different realm. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he prayed to God as his father. Every time Jesus prayed, he prayed relationally. In fact, the only time that I've seen in scripture where Jesus prayed and called his father God was when he died on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Every other time he calls him father. The reason he has to call him God on the cross is he's covered with our sin. So there's no fellowship with the father. So he got to have him way out there as the transcendent God. But when he was walking on earth, he called him father. This is why I love John chapter 20, verse 17. He tells his disciples, I am going to my father. He's getting ready to leave earth and go to heaven. I am going to my father, but then he says, and yours. Ooh, wait a minute. I'm not only going to my daddy, I'm going to your daddy too. Now, why do you need to know that? You need to know that because what Jesus was telling them that he's telling us is the same help that my daddy gave me when I'm on earth, now that I'm leaving, he makes available to you because you're as much of his kid as I am. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father in heaven. And guess what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6? We are seated with him. So the same level of intimacy based on God's will that he had with Jesus, he says he wants to have with you if you relate to him as daddy. Some of us have gotten such bad teaching that we might as well be praying, our judge who art in heaven. Because we walk around feeling this hammer over our head. That's what legalism does. It puts a hammer over your head. God is always out to get you. God is always out to judge you. Now, God does have a standard, but that's not the relationship he wants you to pursue. He wants you to pursue an intimate relationship with him so that you feel, sense, and experience his love, not his discipline, because good fathers do discipline. So it's our father. He is your father. Now, you're going to have to grow into this. You're going to have to grow into this. But when you do, when you experience him on the father level, not the judge level, although he does judge, not the way out there level, talking King James English, you don't talk to your daddy like that. Because that's stranger conversation. He wants to talk to one of his kids. Prayer is a kid talking to his dad. Now it becomes a conversation, not just this ethereal discussion. Our Father, who is in heaven, who operates out of that realm, but I'm praying because I need you in this realm. And then he comes to it. Here it is. Hallowed be thy name. The Greek word hallowed means to be sacred, separated, and unique. Is to treat as one of a kind. It's to treat as special, a class by itself. It's from one of the cognates of the word holy, to be separate. unique, special. Daddy, there's nobody like you. If you've been around him for some time, from time to time, you hear me talk about my dad. It's a joy to me to talk about my father because I know the price he paid for our family. My father dropped out of high school because my grandfather was not able to make ends meet. To help my grandfather make ends meet, he dropped out of school. And then when he could, went back to night school so he could finish. When he had the four of us, he was a longshoreman working on the in the Baltimore Harbor. And some weeks he wouldn't have work to do of loading and unloading boats. Sometimes it went on for months that they didn't call him for work. And so I remember now, if you were to go to the basement in the home that I grew up in, you'll see all of this stuff, old TVs, old radios, because to make ends meet, he would go down and he would try to fix the neighbor's radio or the neighbor's television to just get a few dollars so we could eat. As most of you know, I don't eat fish. Can't stand fish. But there's a reason I can't eat fish and don't eat fish. Because when my father didn't get work and couldn't make ends meet, even shining people's shoes, he would go fishing. And he would go out and take a net and catch herring. Now, herring are little fish with a billion bones. Okay? He would catch herring by the hundreds. We had herring and eggs for breakfast. Herring mayonnaise sandwiches for lunch. Herring and greens for dinner. And herring and ice cream for dessert. I mean, we got overwhelmed with herring. I hate fish. Because for some reason, that thing created a negative thing. But my point is, he would do whatever he had to do for his family. He wouldn't give excuses. He wouldn't say it's tough out here. He wouldn't blame racism. All of those things were real. But he had a responsibility to take care of his family. And so when it comes to earth, I hallowed be his name. I celebrate his name. And there is no inconvenience. There is nothing I'm not willing to do that I'm able to do because I know the price he paid. When you know the price God paid for your salvation, for your deliverance, it shouldn't be a problem hallowing his name.
Dr. Tony Evans, with a look at the relationship we declare when we pray to God. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of today's lesson to review again or to share with someone else, the title to ask about is The Paternity of Prayer. But you can also get it bundled with seven other messages in Tony's current teaching series, The Lord's Prayer. And for a limited time, we're packaging the entire collection along with his popular book, God is More Than Enough. They're all available to you as a thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution to keep his messages coming to this station each day. You can get all the information on this special offer, make your donation online, and instantly download the messages in this series at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222 or online at tonyevans.org. Prayer is a privilege. But Dr. Evans says it's one we often misunderstand or take for granted. Be sure to join him tomorrow as he further explores often overlooked aspects of the Lord's Prayer. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.